All the reading of this morning comes from Matthew chapter 7. And I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 21, from verse 23 through to the end of the chapter. We found on page 978 in the round Bible that you have in there. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 23. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "Who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people." So they all thought that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, come and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a winepress in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied. "And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the proper harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone'? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to say thanks so much to Cameron. He's done so much work over the last month and a half. We're here. this year. Sing out the sound again. Sing out the sound here. Thank you very much, Noel. Lots of people have jobs like coming at night, cleaning, moving pews. But on the pews, let me just tell you what I'm thinking. Provide an explanation here. People comment that we love being closer together. And so, it's got a bit of the old time we were waiting, you know, that way. It's got a bit of the new. We're hoping this helps you feel close together. We're engineers. I have a hand in it. We're thinking that'll be a really good space on there to provide a little bit more room with ramps to park. When you come into church on Sunday morning, we're going to have some set up and drinks there, and then those pews come around the side. We want you to sit down and talk to one another and encourage one another, and we'll come down and we'll try to come closer than you are today, and don't just fall back into where you always sit, and try to be as close together as we can. No doubt we'll find a few that will need a little bit of fixing on the way if we've been patient with that. But thank you to all for helping so much. Thanks again to all for helping us as a family too. A lot of work back in the hospital on Wednesday. Another infection, so it was like we were there for a while. We don't even know if the 7-day count has started. I'm not sure if the boat's going away. And we extend my invitation to come tonight to the Flood Parish Lodge commencement service. It'll be a different talk, and it's quite different. I'm a little bit worried about my students at that talk instead of doing this one. And I'll blame that in a really bad day. I slept in the West. Thanks for your provision in so many ways. For the resources we have here, the opportunity to sit and comfort, really, draw together, to bring the gospel, to sing your praises. We pray that the fellowship we share this morning will be rich and remember what you are doing this morning. And may encourage us to keep going. Momentous signs can often indicate the end of a journey. So when the Berlin Wall was brought down, people talk about that as a momentous sign that it was the end of the Cold War. Jesus' actions in Jerusalem signaled the end of an era. Everyone's eyes were on him. He went in as a king on that donkey. He goes straight to the heart of the nation, the temple. And announces that the people have not produced the fruit of right, so the kingdom will be taken away from them. But even though Jesus had proclaimed that that era was about to end, wonderfully, another era was just about to begin. With the end of that Jerusalem temple, the beginning of a new temple was underway. Not a renovation, it's much a plan. Not an upgrade, but something dramatically new. The fulfillment of the old. If only they would recognize Jesus' authority. And what we can see this morning, I hope we see it as being wonderful and marvelous. In fact, I wonder if you've seen it already. Coming to church this morning, you are meeting with the people that God is drawing from the nations under his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be a holy temple. It's a building, not our building, but the men and the children who are beloved by the Lord Jesus. In that temple, the true temple was standing, and yet it would be lying. The leaders find Jesus the day after he turned over the table. They see him first at victory, they don't know about that. And they come to him and question him about what he did. He had healed, he had drawn the praise of people, and he had not saved them. And so they come to him in a defensive posture, verse 23, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority now? It's not simply, how is it possible he can do this? It's, What right do you have to come in here and knock over our temple on how we do things?
The thing is, Jesus did challenge their authority. So they want to know,
who gave you this authority to do these things?
Now, I guess the thing can be pretty tense. And Jesus doesn't back down. He in fact ties back to verse 24. I'll ask you one question. If you answer me, I'll tell you by what authority I've committed these things. Jesus isn't prepared to give an answer directly. The leaders need to answer his question on John, and I think you'll find it helpful to see that Jesus doesn't evade them by changing the topic. I think he's revealing the state of their question. And he'll use John as a way of converting the heat. Let's talk about John for a moment. To talk about the real issue. So, verse 25, John's baptism. Where did it come from? Was it from heaven? Or of human origin? He's using John to cut the chase. Is it from heaven? Or is it just people getting around time? What do you think? John can preach the same message with hints for the kingdom of heaven is near. So now we discuss the work that John has been doing. Is it from heaven? Is it of God? Or is it just the kind of popularity of the people? This is the question we all must ask. Looking on at those who are giving their lives to God, confessing their sins, getting baptized in the Jordan, believing that God will establish his kingdom on earth, as it is in heaven. It was a fact. Was it an all too human movement, or could it be much, much, much more? Could it be from heaven? The leaders know they're in trouble. They discuss it themselves. They were going to say from heaven and stuff. You'll ask, why didn't you believe it? If we say it's of human origin, does it mean six were afraid of it? They hold their John. So they don't engage in Jesus, they just say, dodge Jesus' direct question out of fear of his forehead. So, Jesus will not answer their question directly. But that's not to say he won't answer it at all. With the two parables that follow him, Jesus will answer their question by all authority to Jesus. But he won't do it directly, he'll use the parables to do so. The first parable tells the story of a man who had two sons, verse 28. He went to the first son and said, son, come and work in my vineyard. The son's initial response is, no way, I'm not doing it. But in time, he regrets that, changes his mind, and then he joins his father in the vineyard. The father then goes to the other son, verse 30, and said the same thing. He answers, I will, but he didn't go. It's his second son, he's all talk. He doesn't join the crowd in even though he's in the wood. And so Jesus asks those leaders who are asking him questions. Verse 31, which of the two did what his father wanted? The first answered. Now, at home in a little children's book of Jesus' parable that we read to kids, this parable gets the mercy, and it ends on this little morsel of morality. A little line after this, Jesus said, what we do is more important than what we say. That's not what Jesus said. What does Jesus say? Truly, I tell you, the tax collector will prostitute for entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Clearly, the little book I have, well, that's a little bit, it's a lot of explanation for kids, let's just make some more and more morality. But these are direct parables to the audience right in front of Jesus. Jesus explained to the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they were way ahead of you in entering the kingdom of God because John came to you to show the way of righteousness and you did not believe. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes and even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe. There's no one has thought this parable for a while. Jesus tells them, you have not listened. Others are miles ahead. And with them still in his sight, he gives them a second parable.
At the end of this parable, they know that Jesus is speaking directly about them. And this will be the one where Jesus says, it's the end of their era. Again, there's a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, took a wine press in it, built a washdown. Now, I would think the leaders at that time would say, hang on, I've heard this story before. Because Isaiah said exactly the same thing. He sings a song of a vineyard, a landowner who digs a wall, plants it all up, fills the washdown. And they must have said, hang on, we've heard this before, Isaiah chapter 5. And Isaiah was pronouncing judgment. The parable goes on from Jesus. He rents out the vineyard to some farmer and moves to another place. When the harvest time approaches, he sends his servants and tenants to collect his fruit. But then he sees his servants, they beat one, kill another, and start a third. Then he sends other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treat them in the same way. Now, with the memory of one prophet in mind, it's not a hard story to mention it. The servants beaten, rejected, and killed, they're the prophet. The parable parodies the history of Israel. But Jesus adds a new chapter. Last of all, verse 37. He sent his son. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the building and killed him. Once again, Jesus invites the audience to look back. What do you think the vineyard owner is going to do? When we do these things, Gentiles. Not only do they agree that there should be consequences, bring those wretches to a wretched end, the leaders think those tenants should be replaced. He should rent the vineyard out to other tenants. Which makes Jesus stop and ask them, have you never read? Have you never read the Psalm? Apparently you're supposed to read Psalm 118 at Passover time. It is Passover time. Maybe they have read Psalm 118 in just the last few days. Have you never read that? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done it and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. And please understand, what if God is giving up on his kingdom project? While Israel is in ruins, God's going to build something from the ruins. Something new. On Jesus, the cornerstone, God will bring a building new. See, Jesus can overturn the tables in the temple because the temple was just a shadow to him. Jesus can overturn the tables and be critical of what the temple had become because he himself is what the temple pointed towards. Jesus can be critical of the temple administrator if they can't recognize that someone greater than the temple was there in the that the kingdom will be taken away from Israel and given to other people is not as though the word of God has failed. But it is the end of one era and the beginning of a new. And here, a whole bunch of threads from Matthew's Gospel are commenting. Matthew opens with that genealogy declaring that Jesus is the son of Abraham and the son of David. He is the king, the son of David. But he's also the offspring of Abraham. God promised Abraham that through Abraham and his offspring, all nations will be blessed. This starts straight away in Matthew's Gospel. Foreigners from the east and shall I come, and they're looking for the King of Jesus. Jesus conducts his ministry in the ruins of the northern kingdom, up in the Galilee of the Gentiles. Jesus called for himself 12 disciples, laid out the master. Tribe of Israel. They're to be salt and light. They're to be what Israel should have been to nations. Because coming soon enough will be the moment after his resurrection when all authority in heaven and earth will be given. given to him, and he will build his church. By what authority has Jesus overturned the tables? By the authority of being the cornerstone of the new temple. Please understand also the depth of the grace of God. That though the kingdom will be taken away from it, though these people will soon enough shout, "Give us a Barabbas," what does Peter declare to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost after the resurrection? Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God didn't own you, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God through a plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when Jerusalem hears this, their heart to heart, and they shout out, "What shall we do? Is there any hope for us?" And Peter replies, consider the depth of the grace of God. Peter replies and gives him the same message that John the Baptist gave him at the beginning. Repent and be baptized, everyone. In the name of Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins. Though they have rejected him, though they were called for us in the name of days, after the resurrection, gospel is preached, and the message that they rejected with John is preached to them again. Consider the depth of the grace of God. Repent and be baptized, everyone. 3,000 were added that day. And then the same Jesus will be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. The terms and conditions would forever have been changed. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. There will be no requirement to go to the temple. No need for Jewish lineage. No privilege of Israel will be required, because that era has ended. And so now men and women and children of any tribe, tongue, continent need not come to one place or merge with one cultural. Instead, they believe in one man, the Lord Jesus, and then people from all cultures become members of one household. Building upon that foundation of the apostles, the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together to become a holy temple in the Lord Jesus. This is the work that God has done, a marvelous work for his people. On that day, they could not see that the cornerstone of the new temple was right in their midst, in the midst of the old temple. And they rejected him in a matter of days. He would be crucified. But once risen from the dead, all authority is given and earth be given to him, and God's plan to continue to march on. And men, women, and children are called to place their trust in one and to find salvation. This is what has drawn us together. One man, the cornerstone of God's church. Give thanks to God for his grace and kindness. But we remember that as people from the nations, we were far from here. And yet, in your mercy and kindness, the message that came to us. You declared peace to us from far away, and brought us to be with your Son. Would you help us appreciate and marvel at this holy temple that we're doing across the world, as people from every tribe and tongue become living stones in your growing temple? Would you help us to not forget all we have.